I really believe that this is going to really, really help us to understand what God says about our victory and our success. And it really is in the mind. It's a war in the mind. I read a story about the difference between real and imagined problems. The story is about a man in his second year of Bible college. He had financial problems and didn't know how he was going to pay his bills, support his family, stay in school. His wife was expecting their second child and was on total bed rest because of serious health concerns. So he made an appointment with the financial aid counselor at the Bible college and went into his office and sat down. The man across the desk asked him a very interesting question. And the question that he asked this young man was this. He asked him, "Do you need money or do you have real problems?" Now that is an interesting question. Do you need money or do you have real problems? The question changed this man's life because he had seen money as his biggest and most difficult problem to solve. His financial needs were constantly on his mind, and his need had become, or his need for money had become the most important thing in his life. So the question that this financial aid counselor asked him, you know, was very thought-provoking. So the counselor smiled and he said, "Most of the students that come to see me, they come because they need money." He said, "Money becomes the center of their lives. It steals their victory and their peace." And then the counselor said, he said, "The problem is not money." He said, "The problem is trust." He said, "Now we can give you a loan and that would help you pay your bills, but that will not solve your problem." And then he said this, "And the reason why is because the problem is inside your head and your heart." He said, "If you get those things in the right order," he said, "money will no longer be the focus of your life." And then he directed him to this passage of Scripture in Psalms 37. In Psalms 37, verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread." So he said, if you will base your life with this focus, he said, it's a trust issue. He said, it's all in your mind because you have allowed these pressing needs, this stress, this concern, all of these things you have allowed to operate in the realm of your mind, and it has robbed you of victory and peace in your life. My friends, it is all in the mind. And that is what our sermon series is going to be about starting today and for the next several Sundays. So I want to give you a passage of God's Word that is going to be the theme text, the theme scripture for everything that we are going to talk about. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Beginning in verse 3, we read these words, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Now let me pause for just a second there. Because I don't think most of God's people understand the weapons of their warfare. And that the scripture says that the weapons of our warfare are spiritual weapons. And he says they are mighty weapons. Hallelujah. Just think of that for a second, of what God's word says. And that they are so mighty that they can pull down strongholds. Now we're going to talk about those things. And today I'm just going to kind of lay the groundwork of what this series, sermon series, is going to be about. But then we read on in verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Thank God. Now, I want you to just take that word home with you today. Meditate on it. Pray over it. And ask God to give you insight into what it's saying. And I believe the Lord will answer that prayer and give you some revelation. And then you can show up here on Sundays and get further revelation. Because I believe the Lord is going to show us some things. Now, I want to compare that. That's our theme text for this sermon series, It's All in the Mind. And this message today I have entitled Mind Games. I have entitled it Mind Games. I'm going to share some things with you. But I want you to take this theme passage of God's Word that we just read, and I want you to compare that to what we read in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 5. And 6. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds," are y'all with me so far? They set their minds, just like this man in our illustration, he had set his mind on his financial problem. But that really wasn't the real issue. And the scripture says here that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, hallelujah. Man, just let that sink in for a little while. Because, man, we need peace in this hour in which we live. Can I get a witness? Amen? We need the peace of God in these days, these last days that we are living in. Because we are in an age of much uncertainty, much confusion. People have lost hope. They have no peace. I mean, there's all kind of problems that plague our society. And God's word says that if we will be spiritually minded, we will have life and we will have peace. And how many of you know, man, do I need that? Amen? Do I need that? So I want to give you some exposition today on some of the things that we find in God's Word in reference to our mind. And we're going to talk about mind games. Because the Scripture is clear about mind games. And that we've already read and understand that we are not fighting a physical battle. We are not just dealing with people. We are dealing with mind-binding spirits. And if we can understand that, and what God says, that our weapons are mighty in God. Hallelujah. Victory is mine in Jesus' name. So let me give you, I'm a word study guy. I love to do word studies from the Bible and get the biblical definitions of those words, because it just opens so much understanding and insight to what we're talking about. So this word mind, I have, there were actually six definitions from the Greek language of the word mind, and those in the usage of a noun. And there were five Greek words for the word mind when they are used as a verb. Now, these selected ones, you know, we only have a certain amount of time on Sunday morning, so I had to do a little condensing. So I have selected four of them that I thought really kind of summarizes what we're talking about. So I want to share those definitions with you. The first one for the word mind is this Greek word nous. It means the seat of reflective consciousness, comprising the faculties of perception and understanding, and those of feeling, judging, and determining. So in other words, we have to sometimes think things through in our life before we make a judgment or before we make a decision, because that's what the mind is all about. It is the seat of reflective consciousness, the faculties of perception and understanding. Now, immediately that made me think of an Old Testament book of the Bible, the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And Solomon said, in all of your getting, make sure that you get understanding. Are y'all with me? Amen? Be sure that you get understanding. The second Greek word is dianoia. It is the faculty of thought or meditation and moral reflection. In other words, we need our mind working to be able to discern things that are right and things that are wrong. Are y'all still with me? This is some powerful stuff here. Here's the third Greek word. In Noah, it means an idea, a notion, an intent. All of these things are operations of our mind. And we've all heard the phrase, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And it is. I don't want to waste my mind. I want my mind thinking right. I want it full of wisdom so that I can live effectively and move forward. Here's the fourth definition. This Greek word, phonema, it denotes what a person has in mind or the content of their mind. In other words, the mind is like a computer and it gets programmed. The things in our world are programming our mind. People you associate with are having an influence in programming your mind. Things that we see, things that we hear are instrumental in programming our mind. And all of us, as we go through life, we have been pre-programmed at whatever station of life we are in, at whatever age we are at. We have been pre-programmed up to this point. And we have been programmed prior to Jesus Christ, just like these young people were sharing today. BC, before Christ, I was this. Before Christ, I thought like this. Before Christ, I acted like this. Before Christ, this was my mindset. This was my mentality. But after Christ, after I have been spiritually reborn, my mind changes. Hallelujah. But it is not immediately. All the things that have been programmed in the mind, they are not just immediately cleared or deleted. See, we have to then reprogram. And that's why he said, if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, it's not going to be good. But if you set your mind on things that are of a spiritual nature, in other words, of the Christ life, then you will have life and you will have peace. And listen, we don't have to go very far in our circle of people to see how many lives are messed up. Before I knew Jesus, I was a mess. Before you knew Jesus, you were a mess. But thank God that in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new. So let's get into this message today on mind games. Now that we understand a little bit about the faculty of the mind and its capability, I mean, the mind has incredible capability. It is estimated by those that are in the medical field and medical scientists and I guess psychiatrists and psychologists and all of those that study the brain, that we only use a very small percentage of its capabilities. It's like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like 10% of the capability of our mind. I mean, the mind is an incredible thing. And the Word of God has a lot to say about our mind because of the potential that exists of what we do with our mind, if we renew our mind according to truth, or if we allow our mind to be programmed by the darkness of this world in which we live. Because everybody, my friends, is being programmed. Every person is being programmed. This is why commercials are so powerful, because those commercials are going to give your brain a message, I need that car. Hello, somebody. Now, for me, it would be, I need that truck, or I need that boat. Or if there's some new technology that's going to help me catch more fish, I don't care what it costs. We go to Academy and we buy a little pack of what they call voodoo shrimp, V-U-D-U, shrimp. And it's like $7 for two. Do you think we care? If it makes a fish hit that line, it could be $10. If it works, and I'm convinced in my mind that it works, are y'all with me? See, because we are being programmed. Our mind is being programmed. I mean, when I go into a restaurant, I don't ask, do you have Coke products or Pepsi products? I sit down and I say, give me a Coke. And they'll say, well, is Pepsi all right? I said, would you accept Monopoly money to pay this bill? There is a difference. But my mind has been programmed towards Coca-Cola. Yours may be programmed towards some other, whatever your choice of beverage may be. But the mind, my friends, is an awesome thing. So let me, I got a lot of things to run through here, and I'm going to run through them very rapid fire. Because, as you could see, we have the table of communion set up. And we're going to come and remember what the Lord Jesus did for each and every one of us. Thank God. All right, so I want to give you, there's four areas, and I would love to have enough time to elaborate in more detail on these four areas today. But like I said, I'm gonna do this in rapid fire. First of all, understand this, that believers are in a war of spiritual terrorism. Spiritual terrorism. Now, we know we hear a lot about terrorism today. I mean, it's the big issue, because we know there are people in the world who are hell-bent on committing evil and killing people and murdering innocent people. We understand that we live in a dangerous, dangerous world. But understand this, my friends, that we as believers, if you are a born-again child of God, you are involved in a war of spiritual terrorism. And what does a terrorist do? He terrorizes. How does a terrorist accomplish his terrorism? Does it not go into the mind? Think about it. Let me give you this verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm sure that many of us know this verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I love this. I love the historical context of Scripture. And I know I've shared this before, but I'm sure there's folks here today that may not have been in the service when I have shared this particular historical point. But this book of the Bible, 2 Timothy, was written in a time when Rome was in power. And there was a man on the throne. There was a man in power by the name of Nero. And Nero was a wicked, wicked, bloodthirsty tyrant. And guess who he did not like? Christians. And he wanted them dead, eliminated, executed, killed, murdered, tortured. So Nero was executing believers on the left and on the right. And there were many people who were defecting from the faith because of that, because of the danger, because of this tyrant. They were defecting from the faith. They were leaving the body of believers. They were leaving the church body. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but of love, power, power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I want you to see that phrase there, sound mind. It comes from this this Greek word, but this Greek word is it is a compounded Greek word. It comes from the Greek word sos, meaning safe, and phrein, meaning the mind, or safe thinking. So when the Bible says here that God has given us a sound mind, He has given us a mind that is filled with safe thinking. In other words, it is a mind that has good judgment. It has disciplined thought patterns. It has the ability to understand things and make right decisions. That's what a sound mind is. Good judgment, disciplined mind, good thought patterns, the ability to understand and make right decisions. How many of you need a sound mind in these days in which we live? We need the ability to make the right decisions. Come on, somebody. Amen? We need to understand what's going on in our world. See, the forces of darkness, they work on our minds to control us by fear. Because fear has torment. The Bible tells us that. Fear torments our mind. God is a God of hope. But when you have fear, you don't have hope. See, when you have hope operating in your life, then you are expecting something good and not bad. Are y'all with me? But when you have fear operating in your mind, you are expecting something bad to happen. Are y'all still with me? Yeah. See, the spirit of fear causes you to expect bad and not good. But the Bible says that God is a God of hope. Hallelujah. He's a God of hope. This is why Romans 8:28 is so awesome and so powerful. It says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He's a God of hope. And even Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, know this, that the God of hope will shortly crush Satan under your feet. Makes me want to dance. Hallelujah. The God of hope is going to crush his head under your feet. Thank God for that. But this war of spiritual terrorism is when the forces of darkness are working on our minds to control us by fear, because fear torments our mind. And we have to take authority over the spirit of fear. Let me move on to the next thing. Satan is an expert in mind games. He's an expert at it. Let me show you something. This is going to rock your world. Let me show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the text that we started with. All right, what he said in verse 5, where he says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought. Are y'all still with me? Bringing every thought into, we're going to talk more about this in the next weeks. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, pulling it under the lordship of Jesus Christ himself. But I want you to notice that word thought, because it's the Greek word noema. It comes from if you go back to our definition, the four definitions, it goes back to number one, nous, the seat of reflective consciousness, the faculties of perception, understanding, those of feeling, judging, and determining. All right, so that's the root word. All right, so this next word, noema, is derived from that root Greek word. And it means to perceive, a thought, concept of the mind, a device of contrivance, which means something created skillfully and inventively to serve a particular purpose. Now, just think about that for a minute. All right, that's what the word thought means. A thought, a concept of the mind, a device of contrivance, something created skillfully and inventively to serve a particular purpose. Are y'all ready? Are y'all still with me? Oh, I was kind of weak. I hope I didn't lose you yet. Watch this. Go with me in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 11, Paul says that we should not be ignorant of the devil. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, y'all see that word, devices? It comes from the very same Greek word for thought. Do y'all see this connection? Let me try over here. Do y'all see this connection? All right, did y'all think about it a little longer? Do you see this connection of this? All right, so he said that we have to bring every thought, we have to bring down every thought to the Lordship of Christ. And then we read here, now again, what is the definition? You know, a device of contriving something created skillfully and inventively to serve a particular person. My friends, can I tell you there are demonic forces of darkness that study you? That'll wake you up. Demonic powers that study you because they are working to skillfully create whatever is necessary to render you ineffective as a believer. So if he can get you pursuing money, fame, career, not only will he associate you with the wrong people, he'll send the wrong people. And so many times we just kind of step right in, take your shoes off, stay a while. Y'all come back now. Some of y'all remember that TV program, Beverly Hillbillies. And this is incredible to see this connection. All right, so the thought, the same Greek word for devices. See, the devil's work is to hold you in bondage by a certain way of thinking. He will play with your mind. He'll tell you you're ugly. He'll tell you you're fat. You're too skinny. You're stupid. Nobody likes you. You're a failure. You need this drug. You need this drink. You need this cigarette. You need this woman. You need this man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because he is programming the mind. You'll never be a success. Your father was an alcoholic. You're going to be an alcoholic. He died an alcoholic. You're going to die an alcoholic. Listen, we are dealing with real mind activities here, my friends. Hallelujah. Thank God that I don't have to think like that, because the Bible tells me that I do not have to set my mind on the things of the flesh. I can set my mind on the things of the Spirit. See, those forces of darkness, they are programming us with fleshly thought patterns. That's why we have to beware of what we allow into our eye gate. That's why I tread very carefully of what kind of movies I will allow, what kind of television programming I will allow. Things that come up on the computer. And I'll say this to the guys, if you like sports, which I do, and you go checking out sports stories, I mean, man, they'll have those little pop-ups. Check out the Baltimore Ravens cheerleaders. They're hot. Do I want to check them out? Heck yeah. But I don't set my mind, are y'all still with me? I don't set my mind on things of the flesh. I have to redirect that to the things of the Spirit. But those voices will say, go ahead and look. See, that's those forces of darkness. Nobody will know. But then I realize it's probably true. But my wife would find out. Somehow, she'd find out and she'd kill me. Come on, somebody. I'm just being honest. Amen. We have to realize the things. It's a mind. You know, the devil's work is to hold us in bondage by how we think. You know, so if he can begin to program us, you know, into setting our mind on the things of the flesh, then he's well on his way. Because you see, it doesn't just end there. It goes deeper and further. It just carries you and carries you and carries you. Because Satan is an expert in mind games. And this is how he then begins a stronghold. He builds a stronghold in your life. And you can apply that to any area of your life. You can apply that, you know, to alcohol problems or cigarette problems or, you know, or whatever, or money pursuit or just, you know, just wanting to be admired by people, to have the opinion of others. I mean, there's so many different areas that we could use to illustrate this. But he wants to bring us into bondage by affecting the way we think. And this is why it is so vitally important that we continuously renew that spirit life. Because if we don't renew that spirit life, then, my friends, the devil's work in our mind will begin to get the best of us. So Paul says, we are not ignorant of his devices, those skillfully and inventively created things that they do, those forces of darkness do to serve a particular purpose. And if you look back, you know, and that's why, can I tell y'all that you should always pray for your pastors? Because we have a great challenge to walk in righteousness and in holiness. And, you know, I've been faithfully serving God since 1976. That's almost 41 years. Been faithfully serving God. Been fighting the devil for 41 years. I didn't have any fight until I got born again. I was on his team. Just like you. You were on his team. There was no problem. Sin, who cares? But the moment you get spiritually reborn, see, then you begin to fight the good fight of faith. Fight the battle. You know, and I look at history, and I see so many ministers, so many men of God that have gone down into defeat, you know, because of scandals or because of, you know, of sexual problems and, you know, and affairs and, you know, drugs and alcohol issues and, I mean, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And they have gone down into defeat. Why? Because the devil played a mind game. And he won. That's why, my friends, we have to stay on fire for God. You got to stay in the Word of God because we must understand this. Here's the next thing, the third thing. The devil's purpose is to destroy you spiritually. It is to destroy you spiritually. And we must understand that. Listen to this, what we read in the book of James. Book of James, chapter 1. I want you to listen to this closely. James 1, verse 12. He said, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. The devil's purpose is to destroy you spiritually. Do you see that little statement there? When he says that, in verse 14, he's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Another translation says, baited by his own evil desire, his own lust and passions. So the devil knows where he knows where to hit. He knows where to jab you. He knows where to come at you. Because his purpose is to destroy us spiritually, ruin our testimony, ruin our witness, keep us under his control, under his bondage, under his authority. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can live and walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, because he's stronger than the devil. He's more powerful than any demon. Hallelujah. And the anointing of God that is in my life is more precious than any desire of this world. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We would be fools to live for this world. But yet how many are living for it? Living for it. We would be foolish to not sell out to God, fulfill our God-ordained purpose, step into the blessed life that he has for each and every one of us, just like we read in Psalms 37, that the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. And the Bible says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Hallelujah. He does not abandon us. He's going to be with us through it all to the very end. Even Jesus said, understand this. As long as you are in this world, you are going to have tribulation. He said, but rest assured. Get it in your mind. Hallelujah. That I have overcome this world. And if I am in Jesus Christ, thank God, victory is mine in Jesus' name. Here's the fourth and final thing. See, we have to fortify our mind by the Word of God. You have to do it. And I may be speaking to some people here today. You may be so far away from God. You may be so far away because your mind, those mind games. Are y'all still with me? Those mind games are intended to destroy us, destroy our future, destroy our destiny, destroy our life in God. So we have to fortify our mind by the Word of God. In John 8, I love it, I love this. John 8, 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, I don't guess they make TV guides anymore. Used to go to the grocery store checkout. Year, different era, I know. Different era. You go to the grocery store checkout and there's the TV guide. And it was cheap. And a lot of pages. And it'd give you the whole programming. You know, now we have the era of cable television. I mean, you can watch anything you want to watch. Anything you want to bend your mind is right there. That's why I say you have to be very, very careful what you allow. What you allow. So we may have our cable guide. They do give you a little card, right? Cable guide. with these channels, these stations, and it might be right on top of your Bible. For some people may say, the cable guide is my Bible. Boy, it got a little quiet all of a sudden. Mind games. Mind games. My friends, if the Word of God is not a part of your life, there's absolutely no way you can live in victory and success. And the spirit of this world and the mind-boggling work of the enemy who plays these mind games with us will have you so twisted, so confused, so far away from God, you won't even know which way is up. And the only way to get back, you can get back to God, my friends. You can get back to the path that He has for you. And it begins right here when Jesus said to those who believed in Him, He said, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Thank God. It'll make us free. Now listen to this. I'm going to end right here with this one. My time is up. Man, my time's way up. Mark 4:24, Amplified Bible. He said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue. What is virtue? It is a quality of what is morally good and desirable. He said, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Just let that soak in for a second. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought. Did y'all catch it? Thought. And study that you give to the truth. It is going to produce that which is good in your life. My. It's all in Jesus. It's all in the very person of Jesus Christ.